Get strong. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of And Stand Talk. And today, as in our invitational, we have a very special person that we are going to meet. For those who haven't met yet, Daniel Shafi is the international director of CrossFit, and he is a box owner as well, and a coach, CrossFit coach, and I would risk to say of one of the biggest CrossFit boxes in Europe.
Yeah, it's
welcome, Daniel.
thank you. Yeah, it's not big in square meters. Big in spirit, I think is how it goes. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the welcome. I was preparing my best Portuguese, and now we're going to do the podcast in English. So yeah, I have to put my Portuguese aside.
Okay. Oh, no worries. The Portuguese, we all understand, or most of us understand English. So I think that if it will be in French, it will be worse. At least for me.
Yeah. it would be enjoyable. My French gets worse as the hours go on. So yeah.
So I'm trying to improve my French, but when I need to talk in French, I start like, okay. And it's stuck like this.
Don't worry about it. We'll use body language. We're fine. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the invitation.
My honor.
Looking forward to this. Okay, Daniel, get stuck in. Give me your worst questions.
First, let's hear about your story. How do you become the person that you are now, or the director of the international director of CrossFit?
That can be long and short. Short version is I harassed Kathy Glassman, Greg, Nicole, Dave forever to translate a lot of stuff for outside of the US and the English speaking communities, and then I harassed them about getting open announcements outside of the US. And to the point where Dave just said, "You still want to do it?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay, well, I'll come over in February of 2017." And so he came to France to do the 17.1 with Sam Briggs and Christine Holter in our box in Paris, CrossFit Louvre. And at the time, I just thought, "Hey, Dave's coming. You know, the affiliates would love this." So I contacted all the affiliates I knew because I'd been working seminars doing translations for years. And so I just called all the affiliates and say, "Hey, Dave's coming. Let's give him a surprise drinks party." You know, so Dave didn't know that the affiliates. And so he walks in the box. I'm showing him the box, and as we walk downstairs, there's all the affiliates in the room. He goes, "Oh, who are these two?" I said, "Well, these are the affiliates." He goes, "Geez, yeah, there's quite a lot of them." I said, "Yeah, and they've come to see you." So he was very happy to travel and stuff. And he just listened. You know, we've been thinking about a project with Nicole and Kathy about a liaison program, because we realize that we have a disconnect with outside of the US, that we want to do good things, but it's limited by time zone, language and stuff. Would you be interested? And I said, "Yeah, of course, you know, who wouldn't, you know, what an honor." You know? And I said, "What are the expectations?" He goes, "I don't know, just be flexible." I said, "I can do that." And he goes, "You sure you want to take it? You don't even know what the package is." I said, "Yeah, of course I want to take it." He says, "Good, because there is no package. It's just like an honorary package." I said, "Good, because you know you shouldn't be taking a role like that for money, right? You know, you should be taking it because you can help others, you know, and you can help others develop as you've been developed through CrossFit." So that started in Feb 2017, and then and it kind of worked. So France kept growing, and they said, "You know, what are you doing?"
Let's get a little bit back.
Yeah,
back,
you want to back go back for, and not forward.
Yeah. Way back.
Okay, so how did I? So what would that
sports,
be? How
did I? What sports oh, did what you sports? did you made before discovering the lifestyle of CrossFit?
My most serious sports were rugby and volleyball. My most serious sports. So I was a setter in volleyball. We had a very good team, and I enjoyed that for many years. And rugby was just like ingrained in me from when I was a kid, since I can remember, you know, going to rugby matches with my father, watching England play, Rugby is just it's just part of my life, and so I played rugby for my school. I played club rugby, and then when I went to uni, I kept playing rugby, and I wasn't too bad, but I wasn't good enough to make it to really the top. You know, I'd like to think I was good enough, but I wasn't. And then I just got hit on the head a few times, and I had a few blackouts. So that was the end of my rugby playing. So those are my sports. I love team sports, and I love team training. So I suppose that kind of rubs off with CrossFit. You know, just the sharing of an experience, you know, is a big one. And we're talking about it earlier, you know, about how good training is. But it's like a good meal, you know. If you eat it on your own, it's okay. But if you share it with people, you know, it's a whole different experience, and that's where
Oh,
CrossFit is amazing. And that's where, you know, I'm not a big fan of open gym, and I'm not a big fan of the guys that kind of like start to separate them from the community. You know, I can understand doing some accessory work and that kind of stuff, but really, you know, you want to try and keep people having that appointment with others and that human interaction. I think is super important. For mental health, for your well-being, you know, just the
for
social
sure.
aspects, sense of belonging. Yeah.
No,
So yeah. So those are my sports. Yeah.
the especially the mental health for me, it was one of the reasons why I've tried CrossFit, because before my life sport was basketball for obvious reasons. And then I stopped basketball, and then I was looking to find a sport that I really enjoyed. I try art martial arts. I try gym, to go to the gym, and I felt boring. And then I had a friend of mine that was already doing CrossFit for some years, and he was like, "Oh, you should try CrossFit." "Oh, but I'm too tall. It's not going to work. It's going to be too hard for me." Try
Yeah, I
it.
remember your story. Yeah, I remember your
Try
story.
it and then go, and then you tell me something. I went and I fell in love. I
Yeah,
went
that's it.
for the only CrossFit that I was a member. It's WOW CrossFit in near my house. It was the closest one, and they have a very it's not a huge community, but it's a very good community. It's amazing. It's for mental health, especially. We go there, we play with each others, and we talk a lot, and we share our thoughts on mostly training related, because no one wants to go to the CrossFit box to be work talking about work or stuff like that. You want to open your mind.
Yeah, that's right. It's where boxes fulfill this need. I mean, you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, I think we spoke about this when we met in Portugal. And you know, often we think, you know, of CrossFit as just a training methodology that fulfills physiological needs, you know, like a need to run faster, lose fat, gain muscle mass, you know, be pain-free or something. But really, most people then get to a point where they're looking for a place where they feel welcome and safe. That's not the home and not the office, you know. And they're looking for a sense of belonging and love. And it's not, you know, nothing sexual in love, just, you know, love between human beings, you know, and the social contact. And the number of people, when you talk to people, especially in big cities, so like in Paris, you know, the first, you know, we have three boxes, three CrossFit Louvres and two in Paris. And when you talk to people, you get to know them, you realize that most people are actually quite lonely. That there's a solitude to life that is, you know, we all say, you know, you're born alone, you'll die alone, and in between you do what you want to do, right? But that most people can be quite lonely, and home office, working from home, computers, Zoom meetings instead of physical meetings, and so on and so forth, have just amplified that. And so I think that social aspect is even more important now inherently than it was pre-COVID, without a doubt. Yeah,
Yeah,
I agree with
sure.
you on that. Yeah.
How did you came to open your first CrossFit box?
Oh,
CrossFit Louvre, right?
yeah. So I was working in the fitness industry. I'd been working in the fitness industry for a very long time, and I loved it. The company I was working for was fantastic. They looked after me very well. They're what we'd call now a global gym company, but for me at the time, I didn't call them a global gym because it was the only sort of fitness we knew, right? Was the global fitness. And there was this undercurrent. It was kind of like a Fight Club thing that, I just landed on the web page, and it's like, what's this? This looks like it should be on the dark web or something, and got into that and started to follow those workouts and do the workouts for myself in our garden. My wife was looking at me like I was crazy, and she worked in the fitness industry. And then I bought some gym rings, and I could only buy plastic ones. I couldn't find the wooden ones. I bought gym rings on the internet from some I don't know, it's like an American company, and hung those from the tree. Then I bought a rope that I hung from the other branch, and so my garden started to look a bit weird. And then it was my birthday, and so my wife actually bought me an Olympic bar for my birthday,
Nice.
and a set of discs. But because she didn't know what we were doing, so she just bought me an Olympic bar and two 20 kilo discs. So everything was either empty barbell or 60 kgs. There's nothing in between. There's nothing above, nothing below. And so I did that for a few months, and I was like, well, I'd really love to know more about this. And I was writing my scores on CrossFit.com and all this kind of stuff. And I realized there were a few other French people. Well, I'm not French, but I was living in France. I was like, oh, there are a few other people putting their scores and stuff. So we started to communicate a bit. And then I was looking through the website at movements, because it used to be the old journal was in there, and you used to click on movements and standards, and you'd be able to see all the movements of the workout. And there was a part which was upcoming seminars, and I was like, seminars? It's like, what? They train people for this? It's like, because for months I was on the website, and I didn't realize that people would actually come together to train together. I thought it was like a programming that was on a website. And then people would do it in, they'd go to their gym, or they'd do it in their house, or and then I realized that, the training will be at this box in central London. I go, box? What's a box? Shit, So I looked on the website of this place, and it was like this, it just looked a bit daggy. I was like, my goodness, people go and train there. How cool is that? It looks like a dungeon. Let's go do this, it looks like something S&M. I'm in, And so I asked my wife, I said, do you mind me taking some money and going to do the course? I'd like to find out more. And it was just to find out more for me, and then to train her. And I had a few friends coming to the garden as well. And I just wanted to do it better. I realized something was missing. I didn't have the breadth or depth of knowledge. And yet I'd been coaching for a very, very long time in fitness, right? So I go to the level one in London, and I walk in. It was in central London, and it's like in Vauxhall or something. And it had these archways. And I walk in, and there's a dirty old couch with holes in it, and there's some guys sitting there. There's one guy doing static handstand hold, and I'd never, in a gym, I'd never seen someone doing handstand hold. I just see people jump on a runner or something, or do body pump or something. I mean, it looked like Cirque du Soleil. It looked like
Yes, I
that.
know.
And there's another person doing double unders. I was like, oh wow, this is like. And then we sat down for level one, and the flow master was Carl Stedman.
And until that
So,
moment, you never had any contact with a CrossFit box. It was
no,
your
that's
first time.
my level one was the first time I put my feet in a CrossFit box. So
Amazing.
my first real CrossFit workout with other people coached was the Fran, because it used to be Fran on day one, right? Until people kept falling off pull-up bars and they had to change the workout. But that was my first CrossFit. That was the first time I saw butterfly pull-ups. So I'm doing 21:59, and I'm doing it all strict on the level one. And all these, and you're doing it like in teams of two and stuff. And I was like going so slowly, and all these guys were doing butterflies. Hey, what the f is that? What are these guys doing? It's like, and then I obviously blew up like popcorn, because I was doing everything strict. My thrusters were disgusting, because when you've never done thrusters, all the thrusters I was doing was empty barbell, because I couldn't jump from 20 kgs to 60 in my garden. So the first time I was doing 42 kg thrusters, and I was getting them up, but like after the 21, I was fried. I was like, oh my God, this is killing me. I was like, but then because so many people were watching, and the atmosphere, and it was like, whoa, come on there. It's like, so you get to the end, and it's like you just had, I had this sense of euphoria on the level one. It was like, oh my God, I felt like I climbed Mount Everest. It's like I get 21:59 of this and this. I'm like, oh my God. So that was my first ever group workout, was on the level one, coached by, so Steve Haydock, Carl Stedman, Simon Jones, Drake Sladsky. So all these guys that have now become legends within the education department. Drake was actually interning, so he was in his black shirt. He was interning. He was like getting the coffee and all that kind of stuff. And there was Mads Jakobsen as well from Scandinavia. So it was Mads's last seminar. And at the end of day one, they have this social, which I think is a really important part of the seminars. where it's literally just like, hey, at the end of the day, we're just going to open some beers, and if anyone wants to chill out and have a conversation, let's just chill out and have a conversation. Kind of like what you do in a box on a Friday night, right? When you're closing up, hey, someone wants a beer for a bit, and that for me is like, wow, what a great atmosphere, And I was in the gym business. And I said, we've never done this with our members, In all the gyms that I was managing, we never just like thought, hey, let's open up the fridge and hand out a Heineken or even maybe perhaps a better beer than a Heineken, right? And so I'm standing there with these two guys, Mads Jakobsen and Carl Stedman, and they go, so you're from France, right? I said, yeah, I'm English, but I live in France. So what box do you train at? I said, I don't. This is my first time in a box. They go, why is it your first time in a box? I said, because there aren't any boxes. They didn't exist when I was doing my level one. And the first box literally opened like 2 weeks after I did my level one. It was the first box there. And it opened like 10 minutes from my house. It was like a total coincidence. Of all the places in France, they opened like 10 minutes from my house, called CrossFit Bordeaux was the first box. And they said, well, why don't you open one? And I was like, I was standing on my bed, like, fuck yeah, it's like, good question. Good
Why not?
question. Yeah, why not? It's like, I really dig this. I've been doing it badly in my garden for a very long time. I need to learn to do it better. I need to learn to coach it. And then, yeah, why not? So I called my wife. I said, hey, listen, we need to chat when I get back tomorrow night. Because we're gonna stop. We're gonna stop, and we're gonna do something different. She goes, what? We're gonna open a CrossFit box. She goes, what? Like the thing you're doing the training in now? I said, yeah, but they don't just train coaches. They have members, and it's like, what? You mean like it's a real gym? I said, yeah, it's a real gym. She goes, okay, come and tell me about it. And I was lucky enough that she was super supportive. I mean, just and we had our son who'd just been born, and so it was a tough decision for her. It wasn't so tough for me because I was just all about the enthusiasm for getting this on and like, yeah, let's do it. We've got to give this to people,
We
this
came
is,
with
and
a blood rush from the level one.
yeah, I mean, I've been in the fitness industry for like, over 20 years. And I had to go to the level one in London for someone to define to me what fitness was. I mean, hang on, I've been working in an industry where for 20 years I didn't even know what the definition was. We'd been mistaken. We'd been told that fitness was, group exercise classes with some guy on a podium, or sitting on a static bike, yelling to music, or getting on treadmills and doing, guided machines. And because that's what we knew, that's all we knew. Well, that's what we kept selling to people as their solution. And yet, so I was working for this big fitness company. I was frustrated that I'd lost belief in the service and what we're giving to our members. And I'd seen by doing CrossFit even badly what it had done for me. And so I spoke to the shareholders. So I was in a fairly good position in the company. Running part of the European business, so with a lot of clubs, big teams and stuff, and so I had a fair leadership experience and operations, operating multi-site and gym and that kind of stuff. So I was very lucky with that, and I just said to them, I said, we have issues with retention, like our members are leaving, they're not happy, and we'd done a study with like 11,000 people from 17 countries who had left us, asking them what were the main reasons they'd left us. And so the main reasons were, I had no interaction with people. So you'd literally go in and swipe your card and then go and sit on the machine with your headset on, or go into a GX class and jump and shout and stuff, and then, go home. I had no interaction. And I was like, well, that's solved because everything is coached. So you have an appointment with people and you're sharing it with other people. So that's solved. I've been doing the same thing all the time since I joined, because you get into this routine, or you get given a routine when you join, you just do that all the time. So I'm bored. That's solved by CrossFit because it's constantly varied. Every day the workout's
Every
different, so
day,
on.
yeah.
Yeah. I learn nothing new. That's solved by CrossFit because your coach is teaching you, even if you've done, if you know, you're picking up details, you go through the learning curve of being taught and then coached and then refining yourself every day. I get bored. Well, there's no boredom in CrossFit, right? And so I'm not getting results. And I was like, well, actually, you're not getting results because you keep doing the same thing. You plateau, you get bored, so you come less often. Whereas CrossFit, you don't feel as though you have to go. You want to go. And I was like, so I said to the shareholder, I said, the solution, I'm convinced the solution to the problem of churn in our membership in the Global Gym is CrossFit. I said, let's talk to CrossFit. Let's see if we can turn maybe just two of our clubs in each country into CrossFit boxes. So I didn't know at the time that they didn't affiliate Globos and stuff. But I said to the shareholders, why don't we talk to them? We do a test for a year. And instead of investing in treadmills and whatnot, we invest in training coaches. And they looked at me like I was crazy, like I'd been hit in the head. And they said, hey, listen, we're just going through a temporary dip. It's a financial crisis. What we've been doing worked before, it'll work again. And I was like, okay, well, then I'll go and do it myself. So resigned, and my wife supported me. She resigned as well. And it was a very well-paid position. We were in very good jobs, and the company was paying for our house. It's paying for all that. So, we had a very
That's a hard
comfortable
decision.
life. Yeah, I mean, if we'd wanted easy money, we would have stayed where we were. But we wanted to work in something we believed in. So we said, we'll go and do it ourselves. We'll go and open a small box in Bordeaux. And we started to look for locations near the house. And at that time, then spoke to someone at Reebok and said, hey, we've heard that you're resigning from Fitness First. Would you like to meet? We have a proposal for you. And I was like, well, not really. I've worked for big companies. I don't want to work for Reebok. No offense, right? I love your pump and stuff, but I don't work for Reebok. So no, it's not about working for an apparel company. It's about gym. We have a proposal for you. So, oh no, I've got a project. They said, hey, listen, we'll buy you lunch. Let us pitch you this, and then we'll see. I said, okay. So I went up to Paris, had lunch with the team from Reebok, and they said, so what are you going to do? I said, oh well, you've probably never heard of it, but I'm going to open a box, a CrossFit box. They go, CrossFit? You're kidding me. I said, no. They said, that's why you left Fitness First. You're going to go and do CrossFit. I said, yeah. They said, hey, well, we've signed it. No one knows yet. It's still officially Adidas, but from next year, we've signed a 10-year deal. So this was the year before Reebok was coming in. We signed a 10-year deal to be a partner with the CrossFit. Would and part of that is we want to have like flagship boxes. Would you want to do it? And I'm like, no, I don't. My box will be, the Daniel Chaffee CrossFit box, or the Daniel and Sophie CrossFit, but it's not going to be the Reebok box. I'm not going to work and give you guys money. I'm fed up making money for other people. If I'm successful, I want to make money for myself. And if I fail, well, then it's my failure. It's not, I don't want pressure from shareholders or something like that. And they said, no, it's your box. We help you with branding and marketing, and we give you clothes for your team and stuff. And we just use, we use you to carry our name. We trust you to operate a good location. We oh, said, well, let me think about it. So I went back to see my wife. My wife's like, no way, it's like so the whole thing. So we said no, and then like after about 6 months, it was like, okay, let's go back and talk to them again. Maybe there's something to. And so we did, and they said, but it has to be in Paris. It's like, oh shit. We had a nice hat. So we ended up moving to Paris to open our first box in Paris with the help of Reebok. And we did all the Reebok events around France. We're traveling every weekend, setting up rigs on car parks, and just basically on websites and Facebook pages saying, hey, you want to come on and discover a CrossFit workout? Come to this car park on this day. And we would go to these cities I can't even show them on a map. And we would have 250, 300 people want to do in a single day CrossFit workouts. And we'd have a rig, a few boxes, wall balls. Yeah, it was crazy. And Reebok did a lot of good then, because they pumped in marketing money, and that sort of activation of helping people discover the activity was magical. Because the first, I would say, of the first like maybe 12 CrossFit boxes, six or seven of them discovered CrossFit on that tour. They came to the Strasbourg one, they came to the Mulhouse one, they came to the one in Marseille. And a lot of box owners say, hey, you remember, our first ever workout was, and it was on a car park of a sports store, and so we did that for a year. The demand was there, but we had loads of problems with locations, like a lot of box owners, and that first year we moved locations four times. The first one we lost, and we had no location to go to, and so we were just coaching in parks, and it was a very tough period. because I'd
especially in
obviously,
winter time.
yeah, and I'd gone up to Paris with my wife and my son, and I'd hired people. I knew what I want. I had a vision of not doing a small box with just me coaching. I had a vision of a full-time reception team and these guys doing prospecting, touring new members, helping on the induction, introduction of new members, welcoming the members and, you know, serving them drinks before the workout and, you know, that kind of stuff, and talking to the members after the workout and me coaching. That was the vision. And then it was like, well, actually, I can't coach enough hours, so I need another coach, and so on and so forth. So I'd hired one, two, three, four people. And I was paying the salaries, and we lost the location. The landlord refused to give us the keys to the location that I'd signed. We'd signed the lease because LVMH, so Louis Vuitton, was supposed to be on the first floor, second floor, third, fourth, and fifth. And the week we were supposed to take the keys, Louis Vuitton said, oh, well, actually, we would like the ground floor on the minus one, which is where the box is going to be. So the landlord calls me and says, hey, you know, don't bother coming to pick up the keys. I go, what do you mean? We signed the lease. I don't care. Louis Vuitton is going to pay us so much money that I don't care. We're just not giving you the keys. So we were there. I'd hired these five people, including my wife at the time, and no location. Literally, like the Friday for the Monday. Monday we're supposed to start the demolition work. So that was how it started. It was like, oh my God, how bad is
A
this?
nightmare.
Yeah. So I had that phone call, and then I called the team and said, hey, you know, I want to invite you guys for lunch. And so we went down to this restaurant. I can picture it now. It's called Le Marceau, and they're sitting around the table, and they can see my face. And they go, "What's wrong?" I said, "Listen, I got some bad news, and I got some good news." And they go, "Give us the bad first." I said, "Well, you know, don't panic. You know, I know we've all just moved to Paris for this project, right? So don't panic. But the box will not be at Rue du Louvre, because that was why it's called CrossFit Louvre. It was in a road called Rue du Louvre. It was not because we're near the museum." And they just looked at me like, what do you mean, don't panic? They all panicked. They all just like, what are you being? I was like, and I said, now the good news is that around this table, we have amazing experience. We know how to run gyms. We've all fallen in love with CrossFit. And so this will give us time to pick an even better location. And so what I want us to do is, we're going to, instead of using our Facebook page to tell people we're going to be at this location, we'll use the Facebook page to do free sessions in the parks. And we'll do that until we find a location. And so either we find a location or the money runs out, one of the two. Are you in? You know, will you, you know, and we had enough money maybe for like 5 months. So to pay the salaries for 5 months. And the fairness to them all, they all stayed. And the first workout we did in a park, we had 26 people just off a Facebook group. Of those 26, maybe half eventually became coaches and now box owners. And so, like guys like Elie Marjorin, who's now a Flow Master, David, who's a director of training, Julien Fester, who's now the country manager for CrossFit France, they were all in that first session. You know, they're all in that first session. And
It's
so,
amazing
26 people. And then,
to see the progression from a street workout to managers and
you know, and so now it's, and now I get angry when youngsters come in and they're given everything. You know, they'll come in and they come into a box where you've got 1,300 members or 800 members, and the rent's being paid, and you've got material, and the lights are on, and there are showers, and everything's easy, you know, and there's a routine and there's a planning and all this kind of stuff. And back then it was like we were literally going from one workout to the next, hoping that there would be more people and that we would find a location to then say to these people, hey, if you want to come and join, this is where we're going to be training. After 4 weeks, we did a workout in Champ-Mars. So under the Eiffel Tower, there's a park there. And we weren't allowed to do it in these parks. We were getting chased by the police and all this kind of stuff. It was fun. It was fun. We're doing workouts in the parks. And we had the material. It was on the landing in front of our apartment. And we would rent these electric cars. We had no cars. So we'd rent these electric cars and open up the back, the boot, and these barbells were sticking out of these cars. And we would drive from the flat to the park, unload the car, put the car back on the charger, that kind of stuff. After 4 weeks, we did a workout with 126 people. So we went from 100.
Jeez.
We went from like 26 to 126. And so at every workout, we're just asking these people for. So when they would book on Facebook, we'd ask them to write the name, the telephone number, and email address. So we built
Creating a
our
database.
database. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And at that time, I'd been visiting loads of locations, and we found a temporary location, which was a shop, and it was small. It was only like, I mean, it was like 50 square meters. So it was small. But we went in and said, okay, okay, let's call a friend. And he came in with his welding kit, and he bought like metal bars, and we did a pull-up bar across that could fit two people. We had space, floor space for maybe four barbells, but you couldn't drop because it was a store in a 250-year-old building. And downstairs was we put a coffee machine and a fridge with some bottles and just a little couple of sofas and stuff, and that was it. And then there was a corner, like, shit, we need a changing room or something. So we bought one of those plastic showers, with those dodgy doors, and we fitted that up in a corner upstairs, and we made like a makeshift changing room that would be the ladies were allowed to go in first. When they'd finished, then the men would go in. There was one shower and like eight lockers, and that was the first Louvre. And now, so we go from that, where, I mean, we joined in the first month, maybe 100 and 150 people. Within 4 months, we had 600 members
Amazing.
in a space that was just like pretty tiny. But our team knew how to prospect, and they knew how to sell. And I was learning how to coach CrossFit, and I had a coach with me who was going to become a head coach. And the first few members that were coaches were looking at them and looking at how enthusiastic they were and stuff. And David was one of our first members. He's now our training director.
Let me ask you, when you opened the CrossFit box, were you coaching as well,
Oh
or
yeah.
were
I mean,
managing the space?
the first few weeks I was doing nearly all the coaching, which was a great learning curve. I mean, when I look at my programming and I look at what I was coaching now, it was horrible, but you have to go through that learning curve, I suppose, right? And then it was just okay. So I was recruiting a coach. I said, okay, now the goal is you've got to be better than me. Otherwise, I'm not going to delegate hours to you if you're not better than me. You've got to become better than me. So I took a coach to his level one, and then I took him out to Boston, and we worked with Austin Maliolo, who was coaching at Reebok One. And so in all, I spent like 4 weeks at Reebok One observing, learning. He'd been coaching CrossFit for a couple of years. He was probably at that time one of the most experienced CrossFit coaches. And so I just kept, I would go out and I would sit in a corner. I said, I'm not going to bother you. I'll do the cleaning, I'll do whatever, but I just want to watch. I watched the team meetings. I watched how he gave feedback to his coaches. And then very soon after that, I went to do my level two, which was at the time called the CPC. It wasn't called the level two back then. And I was the first person from France to take the CPC. I mean, when I walked in, I had to fly to Miami to take it because it wasn't really anywhere else at the time. And they were the seminar staff was shocked. They were like, "Where'd you live?" I was like, "France." "What? You mean like the other side of the United Kingdom?" I was like, "Yeah, the other side of the United Kingdom." So they were like, "Wow, you've got this." Like, so it was, and then the level that what then became the level two, the CPC, just blew my mind on how you could upskill your coaches, how you could give feedback, how everything was measurable, and you could, and if it's and as soon as you can measure, how good a coach is, you can then quantify it, and you can give them feedback, and you can make them better. And so the level two as well is like, we can scale this, and we can scale it fast. We can take guys, coaches that love CrossFit and they're good with people, and we can teach them to become really good coaches. And the level two was a mind-blowing experience. Well, the CPC with them became level two
It's
was a mind-blowing experience.
funny because the from the 200 plus interviews that I already made, something that I noticed is that whenever someone goes to do to make the CrossFit or the level one training, the impression that I get is that it's like you open a Pandora box.
That's right.
They all get out of the training with the hunger to open a CrossFit box or to work to to become better in what they're doing. And it's amazing. What is the secret? It's
Totally.
Really the Pandora box.
I think it is. I think because you discover this truth about movement. You discover this truth about what health is. You discover this truth about what good training looks like. You discover this truth about aging. You don't have to age badly. You know, I'm nearly 50, and honestly, you know, I work out. I'll take a sauna. I'll do a cold bath. I'll do, you know, one or two stretching yin yoga sessions. You know, bit of go what sort of thing. You know, and I feel like I'm 26. I have energy levels. You know, I'll be working with guys that are 20 years younger than me, and you know they'll be falling asleep, and I'm still going. You know, and you know I'll go skiing with my 13-year-old son, and I can out ski him. You know, I'll go surfing, and I can out surf him, and that is magical. You know, the vision when I was young of what I would be when I was 50 was depressing. It made me not want to get here. You know, now that I'm nearly 50, I'm like, you know, I want the next 50 years. I want to be one of the healthiest ever 80-year-olds walking the earth, you know? And that's what CrossFit, kind of the Pandora box of CrossFit for me. And then the other thing was that you can coach anybody, you know, the vision of, you know, oh, well, you know, and this was in the global industry as well. You have to be healthy, you know, or you know, you have to be able to move in order to move. It's like, no, you need to move to be able to move, you know? So it was like spinning the whole thing on its head. So all those points of discovery, I think are part of the Pandora's box. Greg has given us this, you know, I called it earlier a vehicle. You know, he's given us this vehicle, and then, you know, where we take it is up to us, you know. I had a box owner a friend of mine in Glasgow called Gavin. You know, he said, Greg literally laid these golden eggs, you know, the CrossFit methodology. He laid these golden eggs, and anyone who wants to can pick them up and then go and share them with their community. And that's basically it, you know. And that's it. You know, it's your discovery of these golden eggs. That's the level one, you know. The level one is you find one egg. The level two, you find another egg. And then, you know, study your level three, or you go to a competition and you see the community together, or you go to an affiliate gathering and that's another egg, and so on and so forth. You know, it's
Let me ask you a question. The people that went to make the level one, they all received the same training, the same perspective. But why does some when they go out of the training, they want to open a box, but they don't want to be affiliated. Some want to be affiliated, others don't. Why do you feel that happened?
I you know, it's kind of like a membership, right? You know, where you'll see 10 prospects, and 6 or 7 will join your box and pay you a membership, and then 3 won't, right? Even though they say, yeah, you know, CrossFit looks like it's the solution for me. You know? If the membership were free, if it cost no money, I'm pretty sure that you'd probably have a lot more people, you know, joining your box, right? Yes. And so I think you know, money is one reason, you know, without a doubt. I mean, so as a country manager, you know, I was speaking to several affiliates, you know, that, you know, one guy, he had one box very successful, second box was very successful, and then they opened a third box which wasn't successful because it was in a bad location. So there were two brothers, and there was one brother in one box, one brother in the other, and then the third box, they knew nothing about recruiting people, training people, developing people. And so they were angry that this third one wasn't making enough money, and so they said, listen, our boxes here are very successful, so we don't need CrossFit anymore, we don't need to pay the affiliation fee. I was like, fine, you know, if you don't want to pay the affiliation, it's fine, but you got to take down all the branding, you got to take down the name, you got to take down CrossFit logos from your website, from your Facebook page, your Instagrams, the hashtags. You know, you can't even use a hashtag, you know, it's like that's it. There are only two choices, you know, you're affiliated and you use the brand, or you're not affiliated and you take everything down. And so these guys were like, well, you know, for $9,000, we'll take it down. So they took down so for the three. Long story short, 2 years later, two of those three gyms are closed. They tried to transfer all the members into the one gym. They lost their best coaches. Why? Because a lot of coaches want to be not functional fitness coaches, but they want to be
CrossFit
CrossFit
coaches.
coaches. So you'll lose those. You'll also lose the potential future coaches that could have come in and interned with you and become your future coaches. You lose your members who want to be part of the CrossFit community, not the functional fitness community, not Daniel's gym, You lose the prospects that are looking to do CrossFit. They don't come to you anymore. They'll go to another place. You lose the drop-ins. I mean, just on t-shirt sales, it's worth me being affiliated. So the money argument is a very short-term, short-sighted argument in my experience. And then there's the ethical one of, yeah, whatever it is, I don't, what does CrossFit do for me? For me to want
That
to be
is a
affiliated.
question that I
Well,
heard a lot.
CrossFit is actually a methodology which is patented. It's intellectual property. CrossFit is not a workout. CrossFit is a methodology, and it carries that name, and that name is protected. So if you want to train people and earn money using that methodology, you need to be part of the CrossFit movement. And if everyone was part of the CrossFit movement that didn't contribute to it, there would be no level one, there would be no level two, there would be no CrossFit games, there would be no community, there would be no sense of belonging. If everyone had that short-term mentality, they wouldn't even ever been able to go and do a level one. They would still be doing body pump, in the local gym, or reading, Schwarzenegger's Guide to Bodybuilding. And I have nothing against body pump or Schwarzenegger's Guide, but if you love CrossFit and you've discovered CrossFit, it's because somebody put the work in for CrossFit to get to you, and for it to be there for you. So for as long as I'm sharing CrossFit, for as long as I'm coaching it, and my coaches are coaching it, I'll stay affiliated. The day that there's something better than CrossFit that gives better results and is better for the community, well, then I might go and do that. It might be, I don't know, we always used to say, rollerblade with a feather in your bum, under the Eiffel Tower, then we'll become a rollerblading club, and I'll affiliate to the Rollerblading Federation or whatever it is. But until there's something that's better than CrossFit and improving people's lives, I'm in 100% with CrossFit, And so I don't think you can do things half-heartedly. And I think also that the end user, right, the member who trains CrossFit, wants to train CrossFit. If you see someone who's not affiliating and not wanting to do things in the right way, do you trust them as much as someone who is willing to do is, everything we do will build or destroy trust. Everything. Nothing is neutral. Everything sends a message. Even when you decide not to do something, you're sending a message, by not doing. And so when you decide to coach CrossFit and maybe talk about CrossFit, but without having the logo or without writing it, because you're not allowed to use it written, but your coaches will say, yeah, I'm a CrossFit coach, even though your members know you're cheating. So I don't think that develops respect. I don't think it develops trust. And that's worth way more than $3,000 a year, in my opinion. Again, right? This is just my opinion,
Of
but yeah.
course, of course. Well,
Hope that answers your question.
you pay. Yeah, of course, that will answer my question, and I think that will clarify a lot of doubts from people
Yeah.
that ask that question, or what is the benefits of becoming a member of
Well, I
the
mean, now
CrossFit.
that, and now, my old school answer is, hey man, if you don't want to affiliate, it's fine. If you don't understand the value of being part of the community, well then we don't want you in the community. That would be my answer, but then, if you know what's out there now for the affiliates, it's a no-brainer. In the last like year and a half, we've developed the affiliate partner network, where you have partnerships where you can get reductions on tons of products only for affiliates. We have CAP, which is the affiliate programming, which is paying today, right? But it's and it's just for affiliates. We have the playbook just for affiliates. We have the content kit, which is coming out and is just come out in Portuguese, by the way, for affiliates, which has huge amounts of content, videos, promo videos, branding. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that is free to just affiliates. And there's, and there are going to be more and more, you know, training courses, partnerships. Even so, for example, you know, I'm very happy that, the open, you know, the open should be reserved for people to train in affiliate. Yeah. You know? And it should be something that, is only for, people that train in affiliate. It should be something that if you don't train an affiliate, you can take part in the open, but it's more complicated, you know? And so you may have to film your workouts and send them in for an online judge to judge and stuff, you know? And so hopefully that's the way it's going to go back to again, right? And if it does go back to that, then that's a very good point as well. So there are a lot of reasons to be an affiliate as opposed to being, you know, functional bullshit.
It's funny because I think that it was two years ago when I started the podcast 2 years ago, and I remember that it was when I first understood what was the open, what was the games, and it was when I started looking at on a different perspective, and I remember that I start out of curiosity to see people's work, people that share the workout video, and I went to see, oh well, this guy made this result and blah blah blah, and I went to see the video and I found some videos that were people that were doing or trying to do the WODs on a normal gym, or not even a normal gym, it's like
difficult, right?
Yeah, I don't know how to call it.
In a globo,
something like that. And I felt like, well, if they have to make like barbell butterfly pull-ups and stuff like that, they will never be able to do it because it was one of those separate pull-up bars. That has
with the handles coming down on the side, right?
It's almost impossible to make it. Well, it's not impossible, but it's not for everyone.
A lot harder, a lot harder for sure.
I found it funny because I wouldn't say that I understand your perspective, of course, but at least the person that goes to the open should train on a CrossFit on a CrossFit box, if it is affiliated or not. That would be
I think last year
at least a CrossFit box.
I can understand the decision last year. You know that they really want just more people doing CrossFit. You know, so. We really want more people doing CrossFit, so I can understand that. But it was disappointing that the decision was made. I wasn't consulted on that decision, and
your magician was like something.
And then it just allowed, you know, unaffiliated gyms to say we're running the CrossFit Open, you know, which I think is unfair on affiliated gyms. So we'll see if we can correct that this year. We'll see if we can get that right. You know, Stay tuned, right? We'll see if we can get it right.
What competition wise, mm-hmm. besides the open, and are we going to have the regionals again?
you're asking some tough questions. There's a strong movement for you know, there's a strong argument for that. I can understand why people would want that, you know, organized by CrossFit, you know. And I organized the French Showdown, which was a sanctioned event a few years ago, and we decided not to continue as a semi, because being a semi put a lot of constraints on our programming and our choices that we didn't want to have. We didn't want to be a just a rectangle. We wanted to have outdoor stuff, we wanted to have water-based stuff, that kind of stuff. And so being a semi was a bit harder on that. And the issue for semi-finals is to actually break even and not lose a lot of money. CrossFit have a huge amount of experience in organizing events, and they have weight in pulling in sponsors and partners that local guys like me, we don't have. So there's an argument for it. There's an argument for going back to that, because whatever system is in place for the open and the sports season, it has to be sustainable. It has to be something that can happen year after year, because we need to give consistency to the affiliates and to the people that want to take part in the sport. They need to be able to anticipate and know that next year it will resemble more or less this year, without too many changes. So that's being worked on. The sports team, they've brought in, there's a lady called Heather working with JB, who is super smart. She's so good. And she's having a huge influence on the season itself. The team running sports today really want it to be user friendly. They want it to be athlete friendly and affiliate friendly, which wasn't really taken into consideration before. Dave's mindset is or was find the fittest person on the planet. That was it. That was the mission. He was on a military mission, and there was no one that could do it better than Dave, without a doubt.
For sure.
So they still want to find the fittest, but they want it to be a good experience for affiliates and a good experience for the end user. So there's some changes coming. I can't tell you what they are. I'm not allowed to. But there are some changes coming. Just trust me that these are good changes, that when they get announced shortly, you will think of me and you'll go, "Ah, he was right. These are good changes." Okay, so be the changes may even be announced before you publish the podcast. But I've been sworn to secrecy. But there's some good things coming. The sports team really do have good intentions, and the season in general for 2023 is going to be very exciting. When I talk about the season, it will go from like Waterpalooza in January all the way through to December with the Dubai Championship. That whole season, the whole year, is 2023 is going to be,
Magic.
the OGs will be going, "Oh, this is cool," and the guys that didn't know CrossFit back then will be going, "Oh, hey, this is new, but this looks really cool." So next season's going to be fun. This season's going to be fun.
I feel like when I start doing CrossFit and when I start understanding what CrossFit was more than 2 years ago, almost three, I think three years ago, I felt that the community was a little bit more divided. And then, even with those extreme changes that happened on the CrossFit company as a company, I felt that now people are starting to become more united again. Because this is my vision as an outsider, as a person from outside of the CrossFit industry, but this at least I feel this way. I don't know what is your feedback on this? If you feel that that people are getting more united, or as an OG from CrossFit, you felt that we were even more, and now we are a little bit. How do you feel
I
on that?
think, well, when you already when you live shared experiences, whether they're good or bad, they strengthen you. I knew through all the bad things, I was very confident that CrossFit would survive, through the whole tweet thing, through COVID. Why? Because there's just this undeniable truth in the methodology, and so I knew CrossFit would survive. That it would be resilient, that it would show everybody that it's not a fad, and CrossFit does not depend on one person. I miss Greg. He's given us so much, but CrossFit doesn't depend on one person. And today it still doesn't depend on one person. And I know that the magic of CrossFit is shared by the affiliates every single day in the box. So as long as the box owners want to get out and go and open up their box, you know, at 5 a.m. and go up to the whiteboard and write the workout on the board, welcome their members, you know, and turn on the music and turn on the lights, CrossFit will exist. You know, that's fundamental. And then going through all these bad times, you come out the other side and you're strengthened by it. You know, there's a bond. You know, you've lived the same ups and downs, so there's a bond there. But also internationally, we've managed now to get some boots on the ground. And for me, if we can understand CrossFit, we'll believe in it even more. If we take CrossFit to you, wherever you are in whatever language, we will help you to understand it better, right? So time zone barriers, language barriers, do not help in sharing CrossFit. So instead of having CrossFit come from the US, CrossFit needs to become as Portuguese as it is American. It needs to become as French as it is American. How do you do that? Well, you have a person there who's there to build relationships, who's there to educate, inspire, entertain, who's there to take care of the community. And that's what we've been doing. You know, that's what and we've been given those tools. You know, we've been given the right to go and do it. And so now, you know, instead of just being me in France, in 2017, we then went to five country managers, then we went to eight. Now we're 24. And so the communities are being bonded. Last weekend, Germany came together, they bonded. Next weekend, there's going to be a huge gathering in Holland. There'll be you know, 250 affiliates together. They're going to bond, they're going to build a community, a real sense of unity. Community is what is a common sense of unity. So you need to be able to bring people together to share that common sense of unity, build a community, right? End of the month in Prague, the affiliates are coming together and they're going to talk about, you know, the next 3 years. Where else? Portugal in October,
October, yeah.
Brazil in October, Australia in November, France in November. All the country managers and the teams, they're focused on supporting affiliates and building communities. And that's why I think, you know, the future is super bright. And if our role is to protect the methodology, our role is to help affiliates be happy and successful, all of us together, we will do one thing, one goal. That's it. Get more people doing CrossFit. That's every if everybody's goal is that. Don Fall, the new CEO, Gary, my boss, me, the regional directors, the country managers, the affiliates, the coaches, the interns, the cleaning lady in the box, or the cleaning man in the box, you know, the guy at reception. If all we want, and also the members, right? If the members are our biggest ambassadors, we're all aligned in getting more people doing CrossFit. We will save a lot of pain. We will make the next generation far happier and healthier than we could have ever hoped and dreamed of becoming. And we will leave a fantastic legacy. We have an opportunity that is amazing. And I said it earlier, you know, CrossFit is in its infancy. We have, you know, we think, oh, it's been around for ages. It's been around for a while, long enough to help me be better and be a better man. But it's in its infancy. It's a baby, you know. And so we have an opportunity now to do something that is absolutely is outstanding. Your podcast helped, you know. Every seminar helps. You know, everything that's positive around sharing CrossFit is rising the tide, you know. And you know, rising tides, you know, help all ships, right? We leave no affiliate behind. So I agree with you. You know, there's this huge wave of positivity at the moment, and it's fantastic. Yeah, it's not
At least,
limited just to Portuguese.
yeah. At least I feel this way at the moment. I feel
Good,
that
good.
it's more united.
And you're my radar. You're so tall. You know, you can sense. You can see further than me. You can see the good stuff a long way
Well,
away,
I
man.
have bad vision. I need to wear glasses, so.
Yeah, but you know, on this podcast, right? I don't know what you do with your seat, but you take it so down. You sit it's so low. You look like you're a dwarf. You know,
No,
I don't. It's like
it's the
you
camera.
look. Sorry, not allowed to say, but you look like you're a very short person. So yeah, you should stand up, man. People should know that you're like how tall are you? One
Two, two,
ninety
five,
six,
two,
2 meters,
five, two, five.
two. You're two. Two hey, is question for you is because I don't know, right? I'm only like 177. Is everything proportional? Like you got big feet, big hands.
Well, I will say that I have small feet for
Big
my height.
shoes.
So.
You're unset. You're unbalanced, right? You're unbalanced. You're
Only
unbalanced.
on the feet, only on
Okay.
the feet.
Yeah,
So,
that's cool.
so I have one last question.
Tell
If
me.
a person that was is going to open a CrossFit box, what is your recommendation for a person that is now starting this business and wants to open a CrossFit box?
Several is when you're talking about, well, when you're thinking about investing in space or in equipment, I would recommend, instead of going too big too soon, I'd recommend start smaller and then grow into the space and then outgrow the space. It's a good problem to have, is have too many members for your space, as opposed to getting a rent that's too high because you've got too many square meters, or spending important capital on 10 rowers when, to begin with, you're not going to have 10 people per class, and so on and so forth. So start small, see big, but start small, right, would be one. The second is, I would make sure that I have a plan and processes for excellence in coaching, but also excellence in sales and prospecting, and excellence in inducting new members. So you're on ramp, because to begin with, every member is going to be new, right? They may have done CrossFit elsewhere, maybe, but most will not. And your new members, you don't need to go and hunt current members from other boxes. You don't need to go. You will create your community. You don't need to go and destroy. You will find, your members by prospecting and selling. So if you've never run a business before, go and learn about running a business and running a business plan. If you've never managed people, go and learn about management. If you've never led people, management and leadership are not the same thing. If you've never been in a leadership position, go and learn about leadership. If you've never sold a membership, go and learn about sales. You can easily. If you've never done prospecting, go and learn about prospecting. I would recommend that, because most people that are passionate about CrossFit, think, oh yeah, let's go. I'm gonna show them. I'm gonna, and then no one pitches up. They put the logo across the door and they think they're gonna be full. That doesn't happen so much anymore. The old thing of build it and they will come, that was 12, 15 years ago, when you were the only box in the city. Now, Bordeaux's got 24 boxes. Paris, I have no idea how many, but
A
when we were
lot.
the only box, it was easy. Yeah. So don't think that just by opening the doors, you will get to break even. You need to get to break even as quickly as possible. So as a new box owner, you need to set time aside for prospecting every day. If you prospect every day, and prospecting is what? Prospecting is the art of getting people to want to come to your box. And don't wait for them to come. Go outside, go grab them, go give them. And you've got no members. You've got space and you've got time. So hand out free guest passes. Just go and get names and numbers and set appointments and just go and do that. Do that every single day until your box is making money. Because when you open up and you're not making money, it's like going underwater. You're holding your breath. Your oxygen is your money. As time goes past, the bubbles are leaking. And unless you get to the surface, which is break even, you're going to drown. So make sure that you have some oxygen when you start, and then make sure you get to the surface as quickly as possible. And that's by prospecting. So you need to give good service, but you've got to go out and get those members. And you say, yeah, they'll come, but they don't have the same value to you in 6 months as now. When you open a new business, you need them now. And new businesses that fail, they don't fail because they don't know how to coach. They simply fail because they don't have enough members. And they don't have enough members, not because they don't know how to sell. They don't have enough members because they simply don't prospect. And as passionate CrossFitters, we much rather go and do a workout than go outside and go and talk to people that aren't members. But you've got to go and do that. Those would be my, yeah. Sorry for talking with so much, but
No, love it, love
I've
it,
spoken to a
love
lot of
it.
success. I spend my life, speaking to and training box owners on this stuff. And those are the trends that I just keep seeing over and over again.
I
And
would
then the
like
boxes that
to.
aren't successful, sorry, go ahead.
No,
You want to
I
open a
was going
box.
to. I
You
was
want to
going
open a
to.
box. Go open a
No, I was going to say that one argument that I have with myself before I did CrossFit. It was like, oh, CrossFit is too expensive, because if you go on a global gym, you pay like 25 euros here in Portugal. 25 euros per month. If you go to a CrossFit box, you will pay at least 60. So there is a huge gap between one and the other. But when you make the first step to go to a CrossFit box, you understand the difference, because the community and everything that we already talk about, the last person finishing the WOD is the most clapped person, and we saw that on CrossFit Games with the
On the
athlete
steps.
and on the steps.
On the steps,
She was the last one, and everyone around her clapping. I think that she only realized on the amount of people that was supporting her when she dropped the bag
The
for the last
sandbag.
guy. Yeah, stand back.
Totally.
Amazing.
And you know, the mistake someone will make will be just looking at price. But it's like buying a car, you know. I want a car to drive from Paris to Dakar, you know. And if I only look at price, I'll be buying a Clio with, you know, a ruptured fuel tank, no air conditioning, and it's not 4x4, instead of, for more money, buying the Land Rover Defender that has air con, it's 4x4, super comfortable. It comes with a Sebastian Loeb as a driver and a navigator and air con, you know. And if my destination, Dakar, is my health, that's my goal, my physical goal. What's going to get me there? You know, the cheap version, the cheap car, or the more expensive one? It's the more expensive one, right? If you've got the professional accompanying you. And that's what a CrossFit coach is. So when you compare just price, you'll make that mistake. And then would you rather waste 25 euros to not get results or invest 65 and get your results? I'd rather invest 65 and get results
Of
than
course.
pay 25 and get no results. And those are the discussions you have to have with people, you know? And I think more and more people are recognizing that, you know. So, you know, prices—we only live once, right? So let's make it good, you know, and let's live longer,
Exactly.
let's live better. And that, you know, if that costs 65 euros more than a Globo, God damn it, you know, and in Portugal, you guys like to go out and party, man. Maybe one night of partying less, and then you'll join a CrossFit gym, you know.
Exactly. Or one last night dinner out, and you will pay the CrossFit box.
Yeah, or you know, or find a girlfriend who doesn't want, you know, expensive jewelry, and then, you know, you can pay for the year. I don't know.
Exactly. So,
Yeah, totally.
Daniel, many thanks for your time and for sharing all this knowledge. I bet that a lot of questions would be that people that is going to hear the podcast say, "Oh, you should ask, is this, this, and that," and message
Well,
Daniel.
yeah, they can
Daniel
ask me themselves, right? They can ask me themselves.
might answer you or not, depending on
Yeah,
the
I generally do. It
time.
depends how. If you phone me, I won't answer the phone. And don't send me emails because I get like 100 a day, so I have to
Yeah.
filter those. But Instagram's a good way, and WhatsApp. But if you don't have my mobile phone, you can't WhatsApp me. So find me on Instagram, I suppose. DC one and only, that's me. And you know, Ricky, I'll be coming back to Portugal. So if you got listeners in Portugal who wanna come and ask questions, then I won't be at the next affiliate gathering. I can't, 'cause I'm in Brazil. But yeah, tell them to reach out, and then stay close to Pedro Pereira, right? Look after my pets. He's the
He's a
man
great guy.
down
He's a
in
great guy.
Portugal. Yeah, I'm very lucky to have him on the team. What a good guy. So thank you very much for your time. Thanks for your questions. Thanks
Thank
for the
you, Daniel.
chat. It's
Thank you
good to see you
for
again, my friend.
answering everything.
You keep looking after yourself, and then and let me know when you're opening your box. You know, and you open your box, I'll come for the opening, without a doubt. I'll come and break a sweat in your box. Is that cool?
Okay.
Okay,
I will
good
take
stuff.
note of on that. I will charge you that.
Ricardo, thank you very much for your time, mate. You know,
Thank
stay in
you.
touch, okay, buddy? Thank you,
Thank
mate.
you.
Cheers.
Bye bye.